It's good stuff, right? Good stuff. Heaven. Today, we get to talk about heaven. Today, we are in the middle of a worship series called From Death to Life. And so we're talking about big questions about this topic of death. Like what happens when you die, and why do tragedies happen, and what do you say to people who are grieving? And seriously, people, like, how depressing is this, right? So, who came up with this series? I mean, if you ask me, it's time that we change things up a little bit and we talk about something a little happier, right? So let's do that, right? Let's have a day where we talk about, like, puffy clouds and pearly gates and streets of gold and angel choirs, right? Let's take some time and let's talk about something happy, right? Like, what is heaven like? But I'm afraid I have some bad news, right? This is going to sting a little, okay? Are you ready? Are you ready? There's a chance. There's a very slight chance that heaven isn't as great as you think. Everyone say, right? Yeah, I know. I mean, how dark is that, right? It's like I've turned into Pastor Danner, right? Sometimes I say things in my head that I shouldn't say at all. I promise, though, it gets better, you know? So, before you ride me out of town here, let me explain what I mean by this, okay? And let's just take it off. Yep, take it off the screens. Yep, that's good. Heaven, don't get me wrong. Heaven's great. Heaven is great. But here at 242, we turn to Scripture. We let Scripture answer our big questions about topics like this. So if we're going to look to Scripture to see what heaven is like, we might actually be a little surprised to see what Scripture has to say about something like heaven. So we're going to look to Scripture, because if you ask me, Scripture doesn't quite talk about heaven exactly the way that we usually do. When we talk about heaven, this is usually how it goes. We bring up the topic of heaven. You're like, heaven, yes, I know. Yeah, absolutely. I got it. That's our goal. You've heard this before, right? Well, what's our goal in life? To die and go to heaven, right? You've heard this before, right? When our work here is done, when we put our work in, we get the reward. We get the celebration. We get the victory day of one day getting to go to heaven. So don't be sad about leaving here, right? No, because up there is the victory. Up there is the celebration. In fact, up there, we say, is really our home. Up there is where we really belong. See, that's how we usually talk about heaven, but that's not exactly how Scripture tells the story here. Now, it's absolutely true. When we die, we do go to heaven, and it's a great place. It's a great place. We talked about this a few weeks ago. We were saying how we were talking about what is a human being, and we talked about how a human being is really two things. If you remember this from a couple weeks ago, we talked about how a human being is two things. It's a body plus a spirit. A body plus a spirit. We have two sides of us. We have a physical side and a spiritual side. Body and spirit. This is what we were created to be. But when we die, something happens here. Something happens here that actually was never supposed to happen. Because when we die, our body and our spirit separate. They separate. You might have heard the phrase before that death is natural, but it's really not true. It's really not true, because death actually does something that was never supposed to happen, something very unnatural for a human being, separating a body and a spirit. This is never what God intended for us. But when this happens, all is not lost. All is not lost, because when body and spirit separate, this is what Scripture shows us. It shows that our bodies stay here. They start to decay, they break down, they go into the ground, Okay, but all is not lost because our spirit, Scripture shows us, it goes to be with Jesus. It goes, it's united with Jesus somewhere up there. And it's that right there, when our spirit goes to be united with Jesus, that's usually the place that we call heaven. Heaven. In fact, Paul is one of the followers of Jesus, and he kind of describes this phenomenon here this way. It comes in Philippians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. And in these chapters, Paul, he says this. He says, I'm hard-pressed between the two. He says, my desire is to depart, to separate, and to be with Christ. He knows he's going to be with Christ even when he dies. For that is by far, is far better, he says. But to remain in the flesh, he says, is more necessary on your account. See, when Paul dies, he knows that this phenomenon is going to happen, that when he dies, he will be with Christ. That's going to be his spirit. But he also knows that when these things happen in heaven, this is going to be a good thing, right? He says that going to be with Christ is going to be far better than the kind of life that he has here on earth. It's better by far compared to all the struggles and the issues and the pain and the things that he's dealing with here in the world. Going to be with Jesus is going to be a good thing. But here's the problem. We've taken, actually, verses kind of like this, and we've said, okay, well, then this must be the goal. Right, this is what we are all about, to leave the issues and the struggles of this world, like Paul, right, to die and go to be with Jesus in heaven. Because this is Paul, right? We look here and say, yes, this is him. Paul can't wait. Well, there's no denying, heaven is a great place. It's a great place. Being with Jesus, it's better than the issues of this world by far. There's no denying that. But here's the thing. When you look at Scripture, other places in Scripture like we're going to do, you'll find that heaven, going to heaven, is actually only part of the story. It's only part of the story. It turns out that there's actually something bigger. There's something better. There's actually something greater that God has in store for all of us. Something, yes, even greater than dying and going to heaven. And truth is, you really see this when you see how Scripture describes heaven. So in the Bible, heaven is great, but this is how it's described. It's only part of the story. So what is heaven like in Scripture? After all, that is our question for today, right? We're going to look, we're going to dig into this and check this out. Well, in the Bible, God has actually told us little, surprisingly, very little about heaven. And by the by, if that was like our end goal in our life, you think that God would kind of lay it out there and show us a little bit more, but that's not the way it is in Scripture. There's not really a ton of verses to pull from to answer this, but we do have some, and we're gonna try to piece what we can together with some of those things that God shows us. So, what is heaven like? First of all, God shows us that when our spirits, right, are with Jesus, when we die, that place that we go to, wherever exactly it is, that place, Scripture shows us, is up. Okay, that's what we're going to start off with today. It is up. It is up there somewhere. We see this time and time and time again in Scripture. When Jesus actually goes back to heaven to be with God the Father, he goes up. Right, he ascends. He goes upward. When Elijah in the Old Testament is taken to heaven, he goes up. Right, in Scripture, if you're going to pick a direction, right, go up. Right, up is good. Down, questionable. Right, not so good. Right, go up. Right, Scripture shows us this over and over. Look up. That is where heaven, somewhere up there, must be. But outside of that, Outside of that, when it comes to heaven in Scripture, there are several places where it's described and it tells us things about this. But for the most part, outside of this, mostly what we get in Scripture is metaphors. God gives us metaphors, pictures. He gives us images for what this place is like. For example, you may have heard some of these before, that Jesus, he calls this heaven place, he calls it a house. He calls it a house. He says, it's a house, he says, with many rooms. And Jesus is preparing, he says, a place for us. This comes up in John chapter 14. But this is really a metaphor. What's Jesus trying to show here? He's showing that this heaven place, it's a spacious place. Many rooms, right? And there's plenty of room for anyone to be there. But when you get there one day, there is going to be a reservation in your name, right? God's going to be there waiting for you. There's no mystery about that. There's no question about that. God has a place prepared for us. And Jesus uses the house metaphor to communicate that to us. Jesus, he gives us another metaphor. He calls this heaven place paradise. Paradise. So you might know this story, that when Jesus is dying on the cross, that there's actually someone else, a thief, who's dying on another cross right beside him. And this thief actually believes in Jesus. He's trusting in Jesus as his Savior, even as he is dying on a cross. And Jesus then tells this thief these words. He says, "Truly, truly, this day I tell you, you will be with me in paradise. Today you'll be with me in paradise." But that word paradise is actually a metaphor. It's a metaphor. Now, when we say the word paradise, what do you think of? Right? You might think of like a beach, right? Relaxing. You might think of like a place in the mountains with a beautiful lake, right? A place where there's no troubles, where usually there's like calm and nature, just the perfect kind of place to be. No worries, no issues, a place where you can just relax. Well, it was actually the same back then. When they used the word paradise back then, for them, that word evoked a peaceful garden. That's what paradise meant, a peaceful garden. And so Jesus is trying to tell this thief right next to him there on the cross that even in death, you're going to be in a good place, a peaceful place, a good place, a place with no more troubles, a kind of a paradise, a paradise. Another metaphor, and this one's probably the biggest metaphor in Scripture for this heaven place is sleep. Sleep. Paul actually uses this image several times in the New Testament. This is his ongoing image for what this place is like when our bodies and our spirits separate. He describes it as a kind of sleep. This comes up in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says that those who have died, their bodies may be in the ground, but he says their spirits are resting. They're resting with Jesus. Just like when we have like a really good night's sleep, right? You have no sense of pain, no sense of worry, no sadness. Nothing is wrong there. And actually right here, this is, I've heard probably the best description for what heaven is like. Someone has once said that heaven is restful happiness. Restful happiness, no worries, no issues, no struggles, right? Those sorts of things are over. A house, a garden, a good night's sleep, all metaphors that we have here in Scripture. Sometimes, I guess this is as good of a place to bring this up as any. Sometimes when it comes to this topic, a question that people have related to this is like, what about like out-of-body experiences? You may have heard some of these stories before, right? Maybe someone that says, you know, I was near the point of death, and I knew it. And in fact, I felt my body and my spirit separating. I felt that. I experienced that. Well, that would make sense, because that's what we see in Scripture. And then sometimes, it's always different, but often you hear things like, well, I saw things. I saw bright lights. I saw a family member that I once knew or even barely knew. I saw my dog that I had when I was a little kid. Now, these kinds of stories, these kinds of experiences, I don't discount them. Not one little bit. God can absolutely work this way and show us in those kinds of moments those things. In fact, I think that's God using his comforts to show us that things are going to be okay. But when it comes to these even out-of-body visions or these experiences, we have to remember that when it comes to this topic here, when it comes to talking about heaven, often the way God communicates to us is in metaphor. It's in metaphor. So God, in those moments, in those maybe very traumatic moments, he may pick an image that for us will evoke comfort, peace. It will be okay to show us that heaven is a happy place. Now, what you don't want to do, what you don't want to do is read too much into the metaphors. And that's a trap that I think that many fall into. They read too much into the image, into the metaphor, and read things that really God wasn't really trying to say. And because truthfully, there's nothing in that vision that's going to be different from what God already shows us in Scripture. And actually, the place you really see this is another book of the Bible. The last one we're going to look at today, called Revelation. One of the disciples of Jesus, he's given an out-of-body experience of sorts, and he caught a glimpse of heaven. That's what God showed him. It's the last book of the Bible. And by and large, if you've read this book before, you know that by and large, the way that God was communicating to this guy in this book was in metaphor. It was in metaphor. Right, there's like fascinating images, and some of them are confusing, some of them are crazy cool. There's like a seven-headed beast, and there's cities, and there's seas, and yardsticks, and all kinds of stuff. But all these things are meant to be read really in harmony with the rest of Scripture. But I will say, though, the Revelation, last book of the Bible, it's more than just metaphor. Hands down, 100%. There are actually some realities about heaven here that really shine. Because in this book of the Bible, we see that heaven, yes, again, is a place where troubles are gone. No more issues. No more struggles. In fact, you see the saints there in the book of Revelation. And they're doing well. They're doing well. They're praising Jesus. They're not sleeping, though, in that book of the Bible. They're not sleeping. No, they're singing. Right? They're part of the angel choirs. They are praising Jesus. That's one of those realities we see there in Revelation. That's not a metaphor. That's really going on. Right? They are there. They are there. They're doing well. But there's a reality, one last one in Revelation that actually shines the most. That in all the things that are going on up there, and yes, as great as things are and how awesome things are and as how much praise is happening up there in that place, and all of those things, everyone is waiting. Waiting. Yeah, they're doing great, but everyone is waiting. See, in Revelation chapter 6, the saints are there and they're in heaven and they're praising God. But in the midst of that, they're also asking God. They say, how long? How long, God? How long until you give everybody rest from their troubles? How long until you give everybody peace from their troubles? And it says in Revelation 6, verse 11, it says that they were each given a white robe and they were told to rest a little longer. Rest a little longer. Wait a little longer. You see, heaven is great. But it's not as great as maybe we've made it out to be, because even those in heaven are waiting. I mean, yes, when we die, when our loved ones die, they are with Jesus. We are with Jesus. Our loved ones at this moment, who may have gone before us, they're safe. They're secure. They are resting in the arms of Jesus. And it's better than whatever it is that they were struggling with here in this world. But at the same time, they're waiting. They're waiting just like we are for what God really and what God ultimately has in store for all of us. Something that actually God has been working towards and working on and working for since the very beginning of the Bible. They are waiting. We are waiting for something that is so deep in the heart of God. And it's this. The day. The day. See, God, in all the things that he shows us and all the goals he gives us in his life, this is really it. The day. See, God is pointing us to a day, and this is what Scripture calls it, the day. A day when death will be no more. A day when sin will actually be no more. A day when Satan will actually be no more. A day when God will actually undo. This is deep in the heart of God. When he will undo the curse of death. And he's going to put everything back together. The way it was always meant to be. You see, on the day, this is what Scripture shows us. He shows us that God is actually going to reunite bodies and spirits. Those who have fallen asleep will one day wake up. This is what's happening on the day. It's going to be actually Easter Sunday in every graveyard in this world. One day, eyes are going to open again. Hearts are going to beat again. Lungs are going to breathe again. This is the day. It's not here yet. It's coming, though. It's Resurrection Day. This is death's big bon voyage. It's going to be gone forever. You see, hear me well. Jesus didn't die on a cross just so that we can just go to heaven. One day. Now, Jesus died on a cross so that one day, he can actually raise us from the dead. And until that day, we are with Jesus. Whether we are here or we are in heaven, we are with Jesus 100%. And that is a good thing. That is a comforting thing. But there is something bigger. There's something greater that God has in store for us. The day. That's our goal. That's our final destination. That is going to be a good day. And actually, at the very end of the Bible, that's exactly the picture that we have. Again, from the book of Revelation, it gives us the picture of this day. It's Revelation chapter 21. And it says this, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down. Heaven is up, right? Coming down out of heaven from God. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Again, a metaphor, or actually simile there. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying this, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them as their God. And then this is it. He will wipe away. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's no metaphor. Not even close, right? Can you imagine this? There is a day where one day we are going to see exactly what heaven is like. Because one day heaven is actually going to come down here to earth. Literally, we are going to see heaven on earth joined together. That's the day. That's the day that the sin Jesus died for at the cross is going to be gone forever. The death that he overthrew at the empty tomb, it's going to be gone forever. The day that every tear Every pain, every struggle that Jesus died for at the cross is going to be gone forever. Heaven, don't get me wrong, heaven is great, right? But I think that there's a reason why in Scripture that the day is always what God is pointing us to. Because this is the day we're all waiting for. The day that we get to see something even greater than heaven itself. The day we get to see ultimately what God has always, always wanted for all of us. To Him alone be the glory. Amen.